it's Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
Yesterday, Arizona said goodbye to Senator John McCain for the last time. His body is lying in state in Washington, D.C. right now. And he will be buried at the Naval Academy in Annapolis, Maryland on Sunday. John Hook from Fox 10 is in Washington, D.C. He's the anchor of 4, 5, and 9 o'clock newscasts on Fox 10. John, how are you? And what is D.C. like? What is the mood there with Senator John McCain's body lying in state?
Well, good to talk to you, Mac and Lloyd, as always. It's an interesting time here in D.C. I keep thinking back on John McCain's career. And really, yes, he was a senator from Arizona, but this was home for him. Washington, D.C. was where John McCain spent the majority of his time. He went to high school here in Virginia, not far from the Capitol. He became the Navy Senate liaison after his time as a POW when he was released and came back from Vietnam. And that's where I think he first got his inclination to run for office, frankly, was hanging around a lot of politicians and thinking, you know what, I can do this job, no doubt about it. And then he moves to Arizona, and he becomes first a congressman and then a U.S. senator, and 35 years of service from Arizona. But most of that time, guys, spent here, frankly, in Washington. He was a creature of Washington. So it's fitting that this is where the goodbyes are said. And, you know, this that we're seeing today when he lies in state, this is a tribute, frankly, reserved for presidents. Think of that. And we've only had 13 senators in the history of the nation honored in this way. And it's a remarkable thing that the nation is showing this kind of respect to Arizona senator.
You know, John, I wonder, though, if Arizona, I shouldn't say if, but Arizona really gave him a wonderfully powerful send-off to the senator. But D.C. is different now. D.C., I was so struck yesterday by what Joe Biden said when he told the story in 1996, when he and John McCain would sit together at their, you know, after the caucuses or whatever, the caucus lunch, and they were told, hey, it doesn't look good. It doesn't look good for you two to sit together because you're on opposite sides of the aisle. And he said that's when it started. And that's when Congress started changing, and it's gotten so petty and so partisan. I just wonder, is it going to be restrained in D.C.? Are Democrats going to shy away? Are people not going to speak the way they should or the way they want? Because it's so partisan and because of what Donald Trump and what the president has said about John McCain and that overall tone?
I don't think the tone will change one iota with John McCain's passing. I think it will cause everyone to reflect and think about a better way to do things. But remember, John McCain, he battled himself. I mean, he battled within his own party.
Oh, yeah.
This is politics. And you know, we talk about never before so divided. I would submit during the Civil War, that was far worse. So we have been more divided than this before, believe it or not, if you look back historically. There are times, and certainly during the 60s, where it was really ugly. Maybe not in the political realm as much as just the national divide over the Vietnam War. But my point is, I don't think that this changes the level of rancor in Washington, D.C. John McCain's passing will cause everybody to think and pause and reflect. But I think, sadly, when he is put to rest,
it'll be business
Sunday
as usual on Monday.
Yes, I think that's exactly what happens. Mm.
Talking with John Hook, he anchors the 4, 5, and 9 o'clock newscasts here at Fox 10. John, for the past year, the McCain family, they've been very private. Now we're seeing several public ceremonies, obviously the ones that played out here in Phoenix, and what we're starting to see in D.C. and what we'll see more of tomorrow. Do you get a sense that that's what the senator and the family wanted? Or does it come off more to you like this is what the family or the senator feel that they owe to the public?
Oh, that's a really interesting question. I had not thought of it that way. I really believe, and we know now for a fact, that John McCain was intimately involved in planning all of this.
Sure.
Think about back in April. Now, he is just maybe 6 months into his diagnosis at that point. He is calling Barack Obama and George W. Bush to reach out to them, asking them to speak and eulogize him at his funeral. Mm-hmm. John McCain was on the clock, and he knew it. He'd seen it with his friend Ted Kennedy, who died from glioblastoma. He'd seen it in Joe Biden's son, Beau, who died of the exact same cancer. John McCain was a realist. He knew what he was up against, and he started making plans, and this is what we are seeing unfolding this week.
But at the same time, I would say that while all of that was going on, the only glimpses of the senator we would see would be from a Twitter picture or an Instagram picture from a hike with Meghan. There wasn't a lot of public interviews taking place. That largely stopped about a year ago.
No doubt. They kept this thing so close to the vest. And I think John McCain was failing. I mean, I have some inside knowledge that even a month ago, someone visited him and was not certain that John McCain was aware that he was there. So some of this is starting to trickle out. I think John McCain was in worse decline than we may have been led to believe. And so the stopping of treatment announcement that came on Friday, a week ago, I think that was really, it was a hint to all of us that he was in his final hours, and certainly that's exactly what happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we were not, and you know, this gets into a big public debate about how much should the public know about someone who represents them that they voted for. The family kept this very close circle, no doubt.
John Hook, Fox 10 News anchor. He anchors the 4, 5, and 9 o'clock newscasts. He is in D.C. for the next couple of days covering the, I guess, farewell memorial, the remembrance of Senator John McCain. Did you happen to see or did you happen to catch any of the memorial service yesterday, John, at the North Phoenix Baptist Church?
A little of it, actually, on replay, because we were in the air flying to D.C. during that time. So I caught, and obviously it was very emotional and really some great moments of levity as well, which I loved. And John McCain would have loved that, by the way.
Grant Woods couldn't have been more perfect. It was just so, it was eloquent, it was funny, it was very, very poignant. And it just really brought out, I think, the best of what John McCain stood for and who he was as a man. In your estimation, what is John McCain going to be remembered for? Is it character? Is it honesty? Is it forthright? What do you think the word or the sentence is that John McCain's going to be remembered?
I think it's simply service to country. You know, I asked John McCain this question years ago during an interview. I said, what do you want to be remembered for? What do you want on your tombstone? And he said, he served his country. That's what he told me at the time. And I think it was all about that. First, you know, through the Navy and serving this country in that capacity. And then later in serving, you know, two terms in Congress, five and a half in the U.S. Senate. I mean, that is a remarkable career. Think about this. Barry Goldwater, who has always been this Arizona icon, and John McCain takes his seat in 1986 when Barry Goldwater retires. And everyone at the time is thinking, how will Barry Goldwater ever be replaced? Well, of course, he's never going to be replaced.
Right.
But John McCain also has left his mark, an indelible mark, on the state of Arizona. And I know for a fact, even for people who don't like him and didn't agree with him politically, when you would travel outside of Arizona, people would say, oh, Arizona, I like McCain. You know, in some ways, he was more revered outside of Arizona than within Arizona. And I think that's the legacy. This guy became a national and international figure. Two runs for president. People who wondered if he could match up to Barry Goldwater, that's been answered this week.
John, you just mentioned Barry Goldwater, and obviously Doug Ducey has said that he's going to announce a pick after all the ceremonies wrap up this weekend. I saw news that Cindy McCain was going to visit the Senate, see Senator McCain's desk. Should we read anything into that? That maybe, you know, her taking a trip there and seeing his desk, you know, going to the Senate, does that give us any sort of hint, or is that just something that any widow would do?
I don't know. Doug Ducey's got a big, big decision on his hands.
Yeah.
And I think Cindy has certainly been in the conversation right from the get-go. And, and we've got a long history, by the way, in this country of spouses replacing sitting senators or congressmen who die in office. This is not an unusual concept. So the fact that Cindy McCain is being mentioned, whether Doug Ducey will go there, I don't know. I do think that the McCain family, Senator McCain and Cindy, will have played a big hand in whoever is chosen. And I think that whoever that is, we will know that John McCain probably gave his blessing to it.
John Hook is in D.C., Fox 10 News anchor, 4, 5, and 9 p.m. newscasts. John, thank you so much, and safe travels, and we'll talk to you next week.
Guys, I always appreciate the time, and it is a great time to reflect on a passing that kind of marks a passage of time for all of us who've been here in Arizona a long time. A lot of people in our state don't know any other senator that has represented him than John McCain.
Very true. Well said. Thanks, John.
You got it, guys.
All right, coming up, we usually do sounds of the week. We're going to do sounds for John McCain. That's the way we're going to basically kick off your weekend, as this week has been a tough week for Arizona and the country, as Senator John McCain will be laid to rest on Sunday at the Naval Academy, on the grounds of the Naval Academy. Up next, though, Invest in Ed is dead. You're not going to be able to vote for it in November. Now, what happened? Why did the Arizona Supreme Court decide to strike it off the ballot? We'll talk about that next.
Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM. Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
The Arizona Supreme Court issued a ruling that an initiative called Invest in Ed, which would have been Prop 207, didn't include an adequate description of the proposition and could not be on the ballot. Now, there has been pushback from Red for Ed organizers and teachers and other people in the state who said, wait a minute, this is politics. This isn't really what it looks like. The Arizona Supreme Court banning the education funding proposal. Let's talk to Monica Lindstrom, Mac and Gatos legal expert, about this. Monica, do teachers and Red for Ed have a reason to be upset, or did the Arizona Supreme Court issuing the ruling get it right?
I think there's a little bit of both. I think if you are a teacher or someone who supports education, like every single one of us here, this is disheartening, and it's upsetting because the initiative is not going to be on the ballot, which means there's not going to be any extra money for education this year as a result of this election cycle. But the Supreme Court laid out a very good reason as to why they didn't allow the initiative to go forward. And it's basically the Supreme Court found that the proposition's 100-word description was confusing and that other information was left out, such as facts regarding the inflation rate. And one thing, when you put an initiative on the ballot, you get a 100-word description, which is not a lot. But that description has to be very plain Jane, so to speak. It cannot be misleading or confusing in any way. And the Supreme Court found that the way that it was worded was confusing enough that it would hurt the entire process and, you know, hurt the democracy, or the democratic process.
This basically would have taxed the higher incomes of Arizonans for education. And we know that education has been woefully underfunded for years. Please tell me, because I've read the Facebook post, I've read on Twitter, the people that say Doug Ducey wins again, this is politics, the Supreme Court was influenced, or Doug Ducey told him. Please tell me that's not how the Supreme Court works.
I have to believe that that's not the way it works, because I'm a lawyer and I have to believe in the system. We have three branches of government, and the judicial system is not supposed to be influenced by politics. That's the legislative and the executive branch. However, the Supreme Court justices are regular human beings. They could be influenced by reading newspaper articles or dinners or people speaking to them. However, I would like to believe that that's not what happened in this case. I don't think Ducey picked up the phone and said, hey, Chief Justice Bales, I need you to do this for me, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. I can't believe that that happens.
My wife is a lawyer, and she says she's met many judges, and you can talk to them about anything, but don't tell them about a ruling, or don't talk to them how they should rule on something, because they've been doing this a long time, and they've got their own ego.
And they have a different set of rules to follow. And what I mean by that is, you and I can sit here in this room and go back and forth about the Invest in Ed and the proposition and what it means. But that's because we're educated about the issue. We've talked about it a lot and read about it. Well, the Supreme Court said, when you just look at that 100-word description, under the law and the way that it's written, it is confusing, and that's not fair to our voters. So the Supreme Court is looking at it through a different lens than what you or I or the teachers or anybody else might look at that is educated in the process and what's been happening in the state. If you have someone that just moved in 4 months ago and they're going to vote, will they understand what that description really means? Maybe not, because they don't have the history.
My understanding of the law was essentially this would be a tax on one percenters, if you will, in Arizona, the wealthiest of the wealthy. But then when you read through the issues that the Arizona Chamber of Commerce found with it, they're saying that this would have meant over $1 billion tax increase for all Arizonans over 10 years. That seems like a pretty big difference to me, and something that I would think that a judge would rule
Well, how do you describe that in 100 words or less, though?
Right,
too?
But isn't there a big difference? Isn't there a big difference between a tax on the wealthiest of the wealthy and a tax that's going to affect every Arizonan? Could Invest in Ed have, I don't want to say distorted, but manipulated the language of this bill to make it seem like it would be a tax on the wealthiest of the wealthy when it really could affect all Arizonans?
This happens all the time when someone or a group gets an initiative on the ballot. They are going to write that 100-word description and anything else about their initiative in a very pro-initiative way, right? To go the way that they want it to go.
So
that's natural. Right. That's going to happen. Well, for whatever reason, the Supreme Court found that when you just look at this description, it was too confusing and too misleading. In fact, they said it was the description did not accurately represent the increased tax burden on the affected classes of taxpayers. That's what the challenger said. The Supreme Court agreed with that. It creates a significant danger of confusion or unfairness. Mm-hmm. So
if you wanted it, you're going to be really, really angry that people aren't going to be able to vote on it.
Right. Not this year.
Right. It doesn't mean that it's gone forever, though.
No,
right?
No, because they can bring it back next year. They can have all the signatures again, which they'll get enough signatures for, and they'll be right back in the same process. It'll just be a year later. But in that process, they'll understand, whoever wrote this, that they have to be a little bit more down the middle of the description instead of pro-initiative. Because I remember reading this the first time, it was confusing. I said, well, 8%, is that my tax rate? If I'm taxed at 30%, does that mean I'm going up to 38? Or is it only the percentage of my 30% that goes to education? That now that's increasing by 8%. I couldn't tell exactly what that meant when I first read it until I did more research. So I can understand, and the Supreme Court looked at it as someone walking into the ballot box for the first time, reading that description, will they be able to understand what it's for?
Monica Lintz from Mack and Gatos, legal expert. Once again, Monica, thanks so much. Coming up, we'll talk to, we're going to talk about John McCain. He is in Washington, D.C., his body lying in state. In the nation's capital, we will say goodbye. Instead of doing the regular Sounds of the Week brought to you by Blue Sky Pest Control, we're going to do the sounds of John McCain to end the show and end this week right here on KTAR News.
Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM. Mac and Gatos, Arizona's Afternoon News, 92.3 FM. KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
Thanks to Lloyd filling in today for Gatos. Gatos had the day off.
Thanks to Mac for hosting today. Mac does not have the day off.
No, I do not. This has been a strange, happy, sad, melancholy week, I think, for a lot of people in Arizona and across the nation. As we found out, John McCain passed away last Saturday, and we have been mourning ever since. Today, John McCain's body lies in state in the nation's capital. They will have ceremonies tomorrow, memorial services, and then John McCain's body will be interred on the Naval Academy grounds in Annapolis, Maryland, on Sunday, his final resting spot.
Well, and it's going to be strange not having Senator McCain, you know, speak on the Senate floor anymore.
Yeah,
you know,
it will
impact this state.
It will be.
And it's going to be interesting to see. We're going to have at least one female, maybe two senators
coming up. Yeah, real soon. So instead of leaving on a somber note, since it is Labor Day weekend, we thought we'd leave you with the funnier moments of when John McCain came on the show for sounds, not sounds of the week, but let's just say for sounds of the former senator from Arizona, John McCain. Have a great weekend, everybody. Stay safe. And until next time, it's great to have Mac, Gatos, and Lloyd on the show.
Here he is, joining us now in studio.
John McCain.
He introduces himself. Mac, it's not every day we're surrounded by senators in our own studio.
That is true. Senator John McCain from Arizona, Senator Tom Cotton from Arkansas, and Senator Dan Sullivan from Alaska. These fine gentlemen have decided to join us, although they've read the reviews. They still decided to come in anyway.
They still came. I'm honored to have them, and I won't talk very much during this interview.
Okay? Oh, yes, you will.
We've got specific questions just for you, Senator. A lot going on in the country, a lot going on with the president, a lot going on with our senator from Arizona, John McCain. Good afternoon, Senator. How are you today?
I got to be honest with you guys. I'd rather be listening to Detour Dan Beach than the President of the United States.
Senator John McCain's joining us in studio.
The Dodgers coming to town.
Yeah.
We hate the Dodgers. I hate the Dodgers. I hate the Dodgers. Okay?
Well, they peed in our pool, Senator.
They peed over and over again.
Right.
Yes. I will stop.
They urinated on us.
I've said enough. Yeah.
That was not a trick. That was a natural act.
That was urination.
Yeah, that was not a trick.
That's what it was.
Yeah. So let's turn out and beat L.A. On behalf of my friend Snooki, we need to repeal the tax. Oh. We need to repeal the tax on tanning beds.
Oh. Snooki from the Jersey Shore was just mentioned by McCain. Joining us now is Senator John McCain. He's in studio. Senator, it's great to see you. How are
you? Great to be back with you two scamps.
I know.
That's an accurate portrayal.
Yes. All right, it's Mac and Gatos joining us now in studio. Senator John McCain. Senator, great to see you. You look great in those headphones. Look at how he's got the headphones on, Mac.
He looks good.
It's fantastic.
As long as he can hear us, that's all we need.
There you go. I'm glad to be back with you guys. Thanks again for having my daughter Megan on. You were just mentioning that she's been working hard, and that may be the first time in my memory, but...
Wow.
Terrible.
Megan, your father's here. My name is Gatos, and my partner, Mac, how are you today?
Hi, Dad.
Hi, Megan. How are you? We're here at KTAR. Larry Gatos has a crush on you.
Yes, Megan, this is turning into...
Oh, my God.
I know.
Okay.
Megan, we read an article about how you couldn't find a good man.
Well, you have my father in the studio with you. My father is very... Of me.
I know.
Really, I gotta give it up to you. You have like guts sitting in here talking about having a crush on me in front of my.
I think it's a chemical imbalance. Really, it's not fortitude. It's just chemically he's imbalanced.
What I'm gonna do, Megan, is I've got somewhat of a portfolio about myself, and I've got a picture in there. Am I a good looking guy, Senator?
Yeah.
That's all you
Senator,
need to know,
you're
Megan.
Killing me.
That's all you need
killing
to know.
This is the most awkward thing ever. I have to hand it to you. I mean, this is the first time it's ever happened to me before.